In this book, Setting Hearts on Fire, one of the things that John Chapman tries to do is to help folk just find ways of communicating the message, ways that are simple, ways that are memorable. He's been writing about the passage where the angel goes, having told Mary that she's going to have a baby, goes to Luke and says Mary's going to have a baby. And in that passage, Jesus is identified as the Savior from sin, and Emmanuel, God with us. And John Chapman, in his book, talks about stating the point of a passage, the point of a gospel. And he says, in that passage, I've stated the points as Jesus saves his people from their sins, first point. Second one, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. While these are accurate, they're not very memorable. So I begin to play with the phrases to see if I can state them in a better way. How about, there are two aspects about Christmas worth noting. Jesus is God for us, and Jesus is God with us. Another could be, this part of the Bible draws our attention to two important aspects of Christmas. Forgiveness from God, friendship with God. Or just forgiveness and friendship. Now, you see what Chapo's doing there. He's taking something which we know, you know, has a structure to it, and we know it has points to it, and we would put in ways which we would understand, but which are not particularly pithy, not particularly memorable, and take ages to communicate. So we forget them, because they're not particularly memorable, and even if we remember them, other people would probably forget them too. Now, what we're going to do is work through these ways that you've got on the fold-up sheet about witnessing. You've got them on this one, A, B, C, and D, do or done, stepping stones, the Roman road, bridge. And on the back, it says up your sleeve, there's a list of verses. And we're going to refer to these as we go. And so that you don't have to listen to my voice all the time, I think Joe and Alec are going to come up and share a microphone and sort of read them verse about when I say, you know, so I'll say John 14:6, and whoever's turn it is will read it. Come over this side, there you go, that's great. Thank you. So, what are we going to do with these? What's the point of these five, by the way? It's not that you memorize them all, or that you repeat them verbatim, so that there you are having a coffee with somebody, and somebody says, what is it you believe? And suddenly you go, ping, and turn into this completely other person, and start, you know, rattling out five summaries of the gospel for them, whilst their latte goes cold with amazement. So, where are we? Come on, Mr. iPad. I know you're there. Well done. Let's clear that. Okay. First one, A, B, C. Here we go. What's this one about? I'll get my crib sheet, because I haven't memorized them all perfectly, and I've got the verses here. One or two of them I know off by heart, but not all of them. So, are you ready? A. Admit. Admit you're a sinner. First big step. You're never going to come to Jesus for forgiveness if you don't think you're a sinner. So first step, admit you're a sinner. Romans 3:23. Who's first? Alec, on you go. Romans 3:23.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That was an appropriately deep voice. That was so profound. Whoa. So that got their attention. Next, what's the B? Believe. Believe that Jesus can help. Now you've got it on the sheet there. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree.
So we are sinners, but Christ bore our sins. Jesus is the one to help us. So what do we do about that? Well, we come to Jesus for forgiveness. We could refer to Romans 3, chapter 20, which is on there. Alec, it's your turn. Right down at the bottom. Revelation 3, 20.
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in.
Or Acts 3:19.
Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out.
Okay. But that's not the whole thing, because there is a response as well as coming to Jesus, and it's this: do or disciple. We don't just come to him, we follow him through the whole of our lives. This is a life-changing experience, becoming a Christian. If we wanted to point out something about that, there are lots of other verses that we could talk about, but anything about following Jesus would do. So, there you go, A, B, C, D. Now, write all these down. If you haven't been already, write all these down, because one of these is going to click with you particularly appropriately. Maybe two, for one reason or another, and you won't know which one it is until we're right through them all. Next one, do or done. This is a really, really easy one. Do. Start out like that. So this is your napkin. There you are in Starbucks or Pret or somewhere, and you're doodling it out for people, or this is for yourself. Do. What do I have to do to get right with God? What do I have to do to know God? What do I have to do to get to heaven? Rich young ruler, master or good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the whole framework of the question is what's wrong? Because we can't do anything. What we have done is sin. What do I have to do? There's nothing that you can do to inherit eternal life. There's nothing you can do to earn this. The whole point is that it has been done for you. Now, that's the Ephesians passage that we read out earlier. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. What can you do when you're dead? Not a lot. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. Our sins killed us as far as God was concerned, in a relationship with him, any life with him. Our sin killed it off. We were dead in our sins. But God made us alive with Christ. It is by grace you're saved, through faith, and that not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It has been done for you. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We've got Ephesians 2, 8 on there. Thank you, Alec.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Or John chapter 3, verse 3, right at the top.
Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again."
Born again by God, born from above. That's what the phrase born again also means, from above. So do or done. We can't do it, but Jesus has done it for us. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died our death for us. All those things that we've talked about, and there are verses on the back of the sheet that help us with that. So do or done. I like that one because an awful lot of people have the idea that you've got to do something, and the whole gospel is, no, you can't do anything, God's done it for you already. You need to trust him, not trust yourself and what you've done. It's also dead easy, it's only two words. And, I mean, you know, the second one starts with the first one, so I mean, how difficult is that? So it's an easy one. Third one, over the page here, right, stepping stones. I've got to draw some stepping stones now, this will be a laugh. Here we go. Here's the first stepping stone. I'll make them steps, okay? And there's another one. Left foot, right foot, okay? Does that look vaguely like four footsteps? Use your imagination. You know, read by faith, not by sight. First stepping stone is God loves you. John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Second stepping stone, sin separates. Romans 3:23 again.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Thank you. Third stepping stone, Jesus brings us back. Jesus brings us back. And you could look at Romans 5:8 or John 14:6 would be helpful there, wouldn't it? Thank you, Alec.
Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
That's pretty categorical, isn't it? No one comes to the Father except through me. But he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's Jesus who brings us back. Fourth stepping stone, here's the response coming in. Remember, we're preaching for a response. We want hearts to be warm. We want people to turn to Christ and not just think it's interesting. We approach, or we close with Christ, find it some other way. Again, Revelation 3:20, we've already read it, it's there on the thing. Here am I, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So, stepping stones, four of those. It's just another way of drawing out how we can approach God. The Roman road. Okay, the Roman road. It is called the Roman road by many people because it all comes from Romans. Okay, it's all from Romans, but not necessarily in the order that we find it in Romans, but never mind. I'm sure Paul was just having a bad hair day or something, and if he'd really known, he'd have put these verses in the right order. But there we are. Let's start with Romans 3:23 again. Thank you, John.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
We've got the sin problem, and we've all got it, and that sin brings us way away from God. We fall short of the glory of God. God's standard, God's perfection, we fall short of being like God. And we've all done this. We're rebels, not victims. We've all got this problem. Romans 3:23. But the second one, Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So, we know that the sin that separates us from God brings us death. But God has done something. God gives us a gift. Our sins earn death. What we do, what we earn, is separation from God forever. But Christ has done something that he gives to us. And he gives us life. So, you want to go down the do road? Our sin just always pulls us away from God. But if we look at the, you know, we're just referring back to that second one there, the done thing. Just look at what God gives to you. Remember what the gospel is. And this is where we backtrack a little bit now. You could do them, I guess, in the right order, but Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So how is it that we get this gift? How can God give us the gift of eternal life? It is because Christ died for us. And for us, nearly always in the New Testament, in Paul's writing certainly, means on our behalf. On our behalf. Okay? Whoops, this should be green, shouldn't it? I don't want to clear that. But I'm going to rub this out. That's fun. Squeak, 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 squeak. Green. Romans 10:9.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay. Here's the response again. Confess, believe. Here's the response, something outward that other people hear because of something that's going on in the heart towards God. So here's the response. So that's the Roman road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9. And that's a really useful thing. If you've got a New Testament and you want to show somebody what this thing is all about, what this gospel message is, you can show them the verses and even mark them on the page if you carry your New Testament around with you. And that is never a bad idea to do. For those of you who like drawing, this is the last one. So if you like drawing a lot and you don't think that footsteps are really your thing, then here's the bridge. Okay. God, me. But there's a problem. My sin separates me from God. I'm over here, and there's a great gulf between me and him. My sin separates me from God. It's my sin, so if you've got four colours, then you could even make yourself black like the sin. Okay? So what's God done about it? It's my sin that separates me from God. What I do is sinful. I sin because I'm a sinner. It's not the other way around. Well, there's a bridge. And I'm sure many of you have seen this. A bridge that was made on the cross when Christ carried my sin. Christ, who is God, and Christ, who is fully man as well, bridged the gap so that now, because of Jesus and through his work on the cross, I can be reconciled to God. That's what Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's what he's writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1. That God was in the world reconciling us to himself through Christ and through particularly the cross. And that one can work very, very simply, very well. It's not like the entire gospel, totally theologically correct in every way, but it's the main points of the gospel. And it does, I think, brilliantly express what Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians 5, as well as in Colossians chapter 1. So we call it the bridge, because Christ bridges the gap by bearing our sin in his body on the cross. And you can put the right doses with that. I'm sure you can. Thank you very much indeed, Joe and Alec. Now, again, the point is not that you sort of master all these and can repeat them all to some poor, unsuspecting friend. That little quote from Bill Hybels on the A4 sheet, someone said that Christians have two problems when it comes to communicating their faith, starting and stopping. When someone shows an interest in your faith, give them just enough to satisfy their thirst and then back off. So you just hand them a napkin and then change the subject or something, or whatever. But do leave the little napkin with them. Now, what about all this? There's a couple of practical things that I want us to do just in closing. You've scribbled notes down, and particularly when we've gone through those five ways of doing it. The whole point of doing this is that we have something to hand. We have something already in our heads so that our minds don't go blank when we realize that there is an opportunity here to say what a Christian actually believes. Or somebody says, oh, you Christians think you're better than other people. And you say, no, it's not like that at all. And you just straight into do or done, for instance. Or someone says, well, I'm sure that it'll all come out in the wash. I can find my way to God. And you just go, well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and you start drawing the bridge. So it's having something here, so that in your head, to hand, so that when the opportunity arises, A, you spot it, and B, you don't just bottle out or panic or go silent or just go, that's interesting. But you've got something to communicate. It's just the preparation of the heart. And that's why I've put on the handout there, the fold-up one, that little verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared for that. And this is one of the ways of preparing. Now, this is very interesting. Here we are on Sunday evening, that's fine. What are we going to do with this? Well, let me just help. Pick two and write them, that's what the W is for, write them out twice. So maybe even straight after the service, just write it out, copy it out, write it out twice. Then, review it again twice, just some point immediately when you get home. So maybe after 60 minutes or so, or thereabouts, just when you get home tonight, just review it, repeat it, just write it out again a couple of times. It will go in there. Then review it again twice, just repeat it again, same time tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, over tea, something like that. You're stuck for stuff to say or whatever, or you're eating on your own or something like that, or you know, the 6 o'clock news is, you know, you forego it for once. And just take out this sheet again and just scribble it out again twice. Another bit, just review it twice. Whichever one or two you've clicked with you, just review it again twice. And then a week after that, so review it after 7 days. Again, just do it twice. And after 7 days, a week from now, do this. And as people are wont to say, use it or lose it. So do it verbally. If you've got a dog and you walk the dog, witness to the dog, just so that it's going round in your head. You'd be surprised at your dog's response. Just use it or lose it. Make your mind work through this, so that we're doing what the Bible says we're to do. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why have you got any hope, Dominic, of ever getting to heaven? Why have you got any hope of being right with God? How have you got any hope at all of you know, whatever folks say, you know, getting upstairs or what, you know, that kind of thing? Well, you say, well, because, and you straight into the Roman road. Well, I knew I was a sinner. I realized that was true of me. All have sinned and fall short. I knew that. And the Bible said that sin brings death, but God gives eternal life. Or you're into the do or done. Well, it's not because I've done anything special. I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. It's because of what God has done for me. Or as we want to say, I'm not trusting my own CV, it's Christ's CV. Because of what Jesus did. And it's because, be ready. Now, there's homework for next week. And the homework is to look at the sort of the other thing, if you like, that we can say. And that is to tell our own story. Paul frequently told his own story, he rehearses it several times in the New Testament for other people's benefit. We too can tell our story, and it has to be our story. It doesn't have to be your archetypal conversion story. So between now and next week, as well as reviewing one or two of those ways to explain the gospel, have a look at this. What difference does being a Christian make to you? How did you become a Christian? Prepare the answers to these questions for next week. You'll have another 3 minutes. Well, so maybe the woman there is right. You'll have another 3 minutes to tell the stories in jargon-free language. And between now and next week, just observe those tips of the day, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. Thank you that people have explained it to us at different times in our lives. Thank you that you helped us to believe. And thank you that you granted us repentance. We pray that you would help us so to love the gospel and so to love those whom you love that we make ourselves ready to say what the gospel is. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.